that. For those of you who require a Bible, please raise your hand and Bibles will be distributed to you. And when you receive a Bible, maybe you can turn to two verses. John chapter 1, if you turn to that, that's our first reading. And then have your finger in Galatians chapter 1 as well. We're going to read both those portions of scripture together right now. So that's John chapter 1 and the first few verses there. And Galatians chapter 1. And what we're going to be thinking about is we're going to be thinking about, on the theme Hooked on Mission. Kind of part of what we see is we travel around churches. Part of my role is to speak to people about mission and to encourage people to get involved in mission and engaged with mission and development. And we see many churches are very connected. I know I was looking at your website a few months ago. You're very connected with missionaries, aren't you? You're very connected with mission. And you list them on your website, which is awesome. And many churches give a great portion of their budget to mission. But there are also churches who, even though that's the case, who are still saying, but how can I get all of my congregation involved and engaged and really up for mission? Rather than it just being about kind of giving and you know, having some missionaries that we kind of look after and support and keep the contact with, how can I get my whole congregation involved and really up for it? And we're looking at developing a package called Hooked on Mission. Well, that's a working title at the moment. A package for churches that kind of, whether it's a service, whether it's a Saturday with prayer labyrinths on mission and kind of seminars on mission and all this sort of stuff. Because we're, as an organisation, keen to get people hooked into what God is doing. And I want to kind of earth that in some scripture this morning. Look at God, look at the missionary God, look at some characteristics of God that can inspire us and really hook us in and get us inspired to get hooked into what God is about and to co-partner with him, to get part of his co-mission, you know. And also to look at probably the best missionary in the world, Paul, and look at some things that come out of Paul's story. So that's where we're going to kind of look at. Let's read some of these verses together. Firstly, John chapter 1, some first verses from John's gospel here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then verse 14 of that same chapter. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then if we flick over to Galatians chapter 1, we're going to kind of look at the John verses in context to kind of God and the missionary God. God the Father, God the Son. But then we look at kind of Galatians 1, which gives us a potted history of Paul. From verse 11 of Galatians chapter 1, we read, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Now after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stay with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you, before God, that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. Let's pray together. Lord, as we look at these scriptures together, as we think about God and your character, your missionary character, I pray, Lord, that you might inspire us. I pray, Lord, that you might speak to us. And we recognize that you speak in various ways to each of us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that each one might be touched by your word. And as we look at Paul's story as well, Lord, may we apply some of the principles from his life, his missionary life, into our own lives. So, Lord, would you do a work in us today? Would you really equip us for our mission? Here in Saltersford, here in Warwick, here in this nation, but also in the whole of the world. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you and glorify you. Amen. So just to kind of set a kind of backdrop, you would kind of know some of these stats, but we're International Leaders of Mission and Development Agency, and part of that theology really is that we have what we call a two-handed gospel. That with one hand we preach the word of God, we're into engaging evangelism, bringing people to Jesus Christ, and that is what we're about as a Christian mission organization. But with the other hand, and at the same time, we're looking to meet people's practical needs. So whether it's giving people clean water or water filters to provide clean water for life, or whether it's training people on HIV/AIDS and sexual health, whether it's providing education for children and families and adults. It's a two-handed approach. And we believe that's what we see in Jesus. And we believe that two-handed approach needs to happen because of our world the way it is. Firstly, you know, two-thirds of the world aren't yet reached with the gospel. So a third of the world is Christian, believes in God and practices Christian faith, but two-thirds doesn't, still needs reaching. We know that in many parts of our world, religious persecution is still very prominent, particularly places like Nepal and Vietnam where we work. Church planters who risk their lives and their families because they're so passionate about seeing the kingdom of God extended and churches planted, some are underground. We also know that a third of the world live in poverty. 3.2 billion people live in poverty in our world. The same amount as those who are Christians. It's an interesting parallel. 40 million people have HIV or AIDS. 95% of that 40 million are in developing nations. Many haven't got access to treatment, so therefore children die at a very young age who are positive. And Zambia, I don't know if you might have heard, Zambia's been in the news over the last week as well, that half of all trained teachers are dying of AIDS and AIDS-related diseases each year. And teaching being such a key profession in any country, but you think of half those trained teachers just dying every year. More than 840 million people are illiterate. More than half of those are women. A billion people no safe drinking water. One child dies every 5 seconds from hunger-related illness. And you think about these statistics, and you think, goodness me, they're big figures. And how on earth can I make any difference into these situations? When you watch the news, and maybe you think about Nigeria, and you have a close friend there, you think about that situation, what's happening now. You think about images from the Philippines, and that those villages that are just kind of wiped out because of that cliff that collapsed upon them. You think about the images from Pakistan, from that earthquake. You think, goodness, how can I really kind of engage with that? What can I do about that? Is there anything I can do? And for a lot of us, I guess, we're bombarded with these images the whole time. There's probably a tendency to maybe switch the channel over. I can't deal with this anymore. You know, this is too much. And we all feel like that. We feel like that sometimes at International Needs, and it's a human thing. But you know, we're finding that there is something that we can do when you approach it one life at a time. That, you know, Mother Teresa said, you know, I can't change the world, but I can change someone's world. And that's what we're about, engaging with communities, individuals, changing lives one at a time, and making a world of difference. And that's really our kind of phrase, our slogan, if you like, is International Needs. And that's what we're about. Jesus says the poor will always be with us. And doesn't mean to say, though, that we as Christians let that go and let kind of God deal with it, the problem. But that we actually get involved and kind of find ways of making this world a difference, changing one life at a time in any way we can. And that you've got, as Christians or as individuals, many ways of kind of getting involved in development and mission. And International Needs is one such way, I guess. But God's heart, as we were kind of thinking about in the children's talk, is a missionary heart. And that's kind of what I want to think about. When we think about our world that's not reached with the gospel, people that we desperately want to reach. When we think about our world with people who are suffering poverty, International Needs is just an organisation, as of others, who are just kind of getting out there, doing what they can to make a difference. Because God's heart is missionary. God's heart, as we see in the scriptures, is about reaching people and serving people and changing people's lives, providing for people's needs. And that's what God did when he sent Jesus. That was God's mission, wasn't it? In sending his son into the world, he reached out so far, right down to earth, pitched up into our neighbourhood in Jerusalem, in Nazareth, and Jesus was born as a baby and grew into the man that he was, into the ministry that he had, into the mission that he had, following God's rhythm, God's heartbeat. And that's kind of what I want to think about, where we see the actions of Jesus, the characteristics of Jesus, which mirrors God, this missionary God. And then we'll look at Paul in a moment. But relating to John chapter 1, we look at the mission, this missionary God. And the first kind of thing about God that we see is that God's story is a missionary story. God's story is a missionary story. Right from creation, in the beginning, those first words of John, kind of stage lights, action lights come up. In the beginning was the Word. Creation, the first part of God's story, that this meta-narrative of the Bible that follows this big picture from the revelation of God from creation to Jesus and beyond the ascension of Jesus and the revelation that we read about right at the end of Scripture. This whole story is about mission, isn't it? God desperately wanting to reach the world he created, redeeming people who had turned away, delivering people, liberating people from oppression, sin and rebellion. Israel were God's chosen people and they were essential to God's mission. They were intended to be God's light to the world. And then Jesus being the ultimate light to the world that we read about again in John 1, Jesus was ultimate in God reaching us. So God's story is a missionary story, if we think about the big picture of the Bible. And secondly, God's character is a missionary character. I've actually got a PowerPoint I haven't actually put up yet, I forgot. But I'll do it just now, because I've got it up here. And I've got a little gadget that I can kind of flick through. It's not even on slideshow yet. God's character. There we go. Is a missionary character. First of all, God is creative and involved with his creation in the beginning again. God is involved in the pain and the suffering of our world. God's also involved in the joy and the happiness of our world. And God is still involved today with his people. He's still involved as he was with Israel. God came for the world. And you see that in Jesus, this inclusivity of Jesus. He wants all to be in his kingdom, despite gender, despite kind of class or status. Jesus came for all. God is a missionary God. God is also a communicator. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Indicates that God is a communicating God who communicated through creation. This Word, the Word is kind of an agent of creation, a communicator of creation. Jesus was the Word.
the communicator of salvation, of the kingdom of God that actually came into our world. And communication is essential to mission, isn't it? We need to communicate as well as meet people's needs and live a life kind of that reflects Jesus. We also need to, with words, communicate kind of the gospel and who God is and what God's about. God's character is compassionate. As God became, the word became flesh, as you read in verse 14 of John chapter 1. Jesus came out of God's compassion for the world. Read Exodus 34 verse 6. The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love. God loved the world so much. God loved us and his world so much that he sent Jesus to come and die in our place. Hosea 11 verse 8, my heart is changed within me. All my compassion is stirred, says God. Kind of Hosea thinking about God's relationship with Israel. And how even Israel kind of prostituted herself and left God, turned away. God still was compassionate and loved his people as he loves us. And then Christ himself, word becoming flesh, dwelling amongst us. The character of God is seen in Christ, isn't it? God incarnate, Jesus full of love, full of compassion, full of grace, full of peace, full of hope, full of action. It was all about reaching people for the kingdom. Communicating the kingdom through humility, through service, through obedience. In the very nature of God, Philippians 2, we read. And you know, Jesus wasn't really a preacher. He was a person who acted, who performed miracles, who changed people's lives, but then made a comment about that and engaged them then with the kingdom of God through comment. And that inspires us, International Leaders. Hopefully inspires you to think, this is the God who we serve. This is the kind of model. This is the kind of heartbeat of God, mission, that we too need to be engaged and involved with in our own context, but also in a global context as well. And you know, mission's not just to build our churches and get more people in our seats, is it? Mission is to build God's kingdom. Mission is, the way God does it, is holistic. It's not just kind of preaching the word of God, evangelism, but it's also practical and meeting people's needs. Physical, emotional, intellectual, political, spiritual. Mission is about all of those things, connecting people with all of those aspects of humanity. Action and comment. And mission is so much what God is about. And this is kind of part of why I'm so passionate about mission. Always have been, even as a youth worker. Back in the early days of Warwick, kind of learning as I went along, going into schools and around this area, going into housing estates, going into and walking along the streets and just kind of engaging young people with the gospel, giving them a chewing gum, you know, or whatever, just to engage them in a conversation. And because God is about reaching people, however abusive they are to you, as I found some young people are, even in Warwick. However different they are culturally, God wants to reach people. And part of that for us is, as International Needs, particularly the culture element, is that because cultures are so different, an effective way of doing that is training and equipping people in their own culture to reach their own people. And hence we call it indigenous ministry. We'll talk about that in a moment. So that's God, the missionary God. What about Paul? We flick to Galatians chapter 1. I guess you finish about, what time do you finish normally? About now? In a moment? Oh, just kind of give me a moment. Galatians chapter 1, 11 to 24. We read about this potted history of Paul. Paul, his former name, Saul, this Jewish name that came from King Saul, the first king of Israel. Born in Tarsus, this Gentile city, devoted Jewish family. His father would have taught Saul at a very young age all the rules and regulations of the Jewish law. Particularly being brought up in a Gentile city, kind of very sheltered, taught at home, homeschooling, went to the synagogue with his mother as a young child, did Saul in the women's section, This Gentile influence of racing, which was nearby his city of Tarsus, Gentile racing, running, and you kind of read in many of Paul's letters this kind of racing analogy that he used. Studied under the Rabbi Gamaliel, who was a great rabbi in Jerusalem, and was really kind of doing very well as a Jew, kind of mixing with Pharisees, with rabbis, with high priests, and then got so high up and so passionate about being a Jew and living as a Jew that he became a key persecutor, kind of a head persecutor of the church, the Christian church, and was murdering people, killing people, looking to destroy Christianity. And we pick it up with Paul just as we look at his story for a moment. We remember in Acts chapter 9 this great turnaround that Paul had, where he was on this road to Damascus looking actually to kind of keep this campaign of persecution going. And as he traveled to Damascus, you read in Acts chapter 9 that he was looking for Christians to kind of destroy and get rid of. And he was trying to get other synagogues involved in his campaign of persecution against Christians. But on his way, he had an encounter with Jesus and a great transformation where he was blinded. He kind of saw Jesus, had a dialogue with Jesus, and was instructed to go to a place where he met with Ananias, who also had a vision of God. And Ananias laid hands on Saul, and his, like, what scales came from his eyes, he had his vision back. And from that moment was baptized and began to work for God's kingdom and preach Jesus crucified and risen. And for Paul, one of the first kind of key things is that his mission was out of transformation. His missionary story for Paul came out of his transformation by Jesus Christ. His mission was relevant. Reading 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 23, that Paul was all things to all men, you know, slave or Greek, child or adult. I'm all things to all men. He was relevant. Whatever language, whatever culture. His mission was actually indigenous as well, wasn't it? Because he trained churches, he equipped churches, and you read his letters all through most of the majority of the New Testament is written by Paul. His letters of training and equipping churches in their own contexts to reach their own communities for the kingdom of God. It was an indigenous approach. His mission was sacrificial. You read 2 Corinthians 11, you read about kind of the sacrifice that he went through. I'll just read it very quickly because it's quite a powerful piece of scripture. 2 Corinthians 11, which he just rolls out all the stuff that had happened to him over the course of his missionary journey. Verses 24 to 27. 5 times... I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. Paul's missionary journey was very sacrificial. His own life was under threat. He was imprisoned. He was beaten regularly because he loved God. He was hooked on God and hooked on mission. And there's nothing stopping him, even those threats, even that sacrifice. And Paul's mission was sensational. And you read that in Romans chapter 15, the kind of success, the growth of the church, the Christian church, through Paul's missionary journeys, 3 that he took. Just the Christianity exploded and reached people like us here today. We're here not just because of Jesus, that is very true, but also because of the work Paul and Peter did as well in kind of having this mission for the kingdom of God. So what about us? As we read about, if we thought about God, if we thought about this missionary character, as we thought about Paul and probably the best missionary in the world, we think about us. How do we apply this stuff? How do we apply Paul's journey and the stuff that we see in God? So being hooked on mission, I see it, is about being transformed. Being hooked on mission is about having an encounter with Jesus. Seeing the person that God is, the character of God, the character of Jesus, being transformed on the inside and out. Our mission should come out of our transformation and God's Spirit working within us to transform us and make us more like himself, to change the way we think about the world and about others, to change the way our hearts and the way we feel about the world and about others. Being hooked on mission is about being transformed. Being hooked on mission is about being relevant. It's about meeting people in their own culture with the gospel. It's about meeting their actual needs. And with international needs, we're looking to meet people's physical needs and be relevant in that way, but be relevant through kind of the way we do mission, through their own language, their own culture. This is where indigenous comes from. It can't just turn up into another culture and suddenly kind of engage people very easily. I know there are great mission organizations who train people in cross-cultural mission, and I think there's a place for that. But I think there's also a place for this indigenous approach, training people, Christians, in their own nations to reach their peers and their communities. It's about being Jesus, about becoming Christ-like, about having more of a Jesusness about us, which impacts others and empowers others with the power of the Holy Spirit. Being hooked on mission is about being sacrificial, having a sacrificial approach to living, to giving, and to going. Then being hooked on mission is about being sensational, which I believe we can all be when we're filled with God's Spirit, when we're transformed, when we're relevant, when we're like Jesus, when we're sacrificial. We can all be sensational in our mission. Giving ourselves as a drink offering, as Paul said, didn't he? When Jesus had 5,000 people laid out in front of him on a mountain who are all hungry, a little boy came up to him with bread and with a few bread and some fish, and Jesus broke it and then multiplied it and distributed it to all of those people who are all fed and all fully satisfied. It's like when we give ourselves to God, when we offer ourselves, offer our lives, offer our gifts, God kind of breaks it, distributes it and multiplies it and makes it more and brings the increase. And that's all God's after for us, isn't it? Just for us to come and offer ourselves, offer our lives to him. He does the rest. He makes it sensational. He makes the results sensational. I'm sure that's what you're praying for in Warwick as a church, to be a church that has a sensational outcome, a sensational mission. That's what we're after as well for our world. So that's kind of what I see in Scripture. And that's kind of an application that I just want to encourage you with and leave you with today. And I just kind of leave you with a few kind of key points as a response, and as a response from international needs as well, and what you've seen about who we are, that we're looking for people to pray for the work of international needs, the work of mission in the world. And that's essential to what we're about, and it's worthless without it. And I encourage you, if you feel you can do that, to take some literature and pray about us in an informed way. Giving is also key to any kind of agency's work as a charity. We're looking for people to give as individuals, to consider how can I be involved with this kind of mission work, this development work. And there's kind of ways of doing that. Also, we're looking for people to go on short-term mission as well, either as a church, as a group from church, to go to one of our projects, to be involved in mission and evangelism. And there's opportunities that we're running 5 trips this year for groups of churches to go on mission and development projects, short-term mission trips. So prayer, giving, and going is how I want to leave it with you this morning. And there's a little card out on as you leave on the table out there that you can feel free to take home with you and fill in, pray about it, either fill it in today and if you would like to do that. But just if you feel you want to be involved, you want to get hooked into mission, then there's a way of doing that. Let's pray before we sing our final song and close our service, shall we? Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the mission characteristics of God. Thank you for who God is and for the way he reached down and reached us as individuals and have kind of pulled us and redeemed us and liberated us as human beings. Lord, we thank you for Paul and the person he was and the way the church grew from his missionary journeys. And the example that he is to us now. And Lord, help us really be hooked into God. Help us to, through that transformation that we have in Jesus, to be hooked into mission. I'm really up for it, really involved and engaged in it. And Lord, help us to respond and to know how to respond the way you want us to, whether it's by praying, whether it's by giving, whether it's by going, whether that's here in our own community, whether that's across the pond or to another country. Lord, would you reveal to us how you want us to be involved and engaged? And Lord, I just pray for this church in Saltersford, your blessing upon this place, for each individual, each child, each adult who's here worshipping. Lord, that you would make this a sensational mission place with more people reach for the kingdom. I pray that in the name of Jesus, boldly. Amen. We sing our final song together, the song, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided.